access number 11256, real one.
Mr. Turner, real one. Can you tell me, first of all, when and how you joined the Rangers, please?
I joined the Rangers in April 1939.
Were you a volunteer?
Volunteered. Joined the Territorial Army.
Why did you volunteer for it?
I thought it was my duty to do so.
Because of the...
Because of the war, yes.
And why did you choose that particular regiment?
I don't know. I think it was possibly the uniform. I don't think there was any real reason why I joined. It was just there.
What did you think of the training that you got? Did you think it prepared you adequately for the fighting that was to come?
Oh, as far as the Rangers were concerned, yes.
Can you say something about the training that you had?
Well, we did our training at Cheney Street, which is off Tottenham Court Road. We went through all the arms drill in the first instance, and then we went off to camp and we did the various manoeuvres. The Rangers, of course, the King's Royal Rifle Corps, they are a regiment that operates on individuals. The NCOs are given an awful lot of training so that they control their own sections. And I think as we go through the Battle for Crete, you will see where this actually applied. Well, I think the training was good. It was very good.
How was it that you came to go to Crete?
We first of all went into Greece. We were part of the British Expeditionary Force to Greece. We went up to the northern part of Greece, fought our way back, and we were evacuated on HMS Havoc.
How did you get out to Crete?
How did we get to Greece? We went to Greece from Alexandria on an old tub. We call it a tub. It was the Chrysanthemum. Took us to Greece, and we arrived in Piraeus during a strike. We went to Gafarda.
What was the strike all about?
Well, that was something to do with the porters unloading goods and things on the docks. Nothing to do with our people. It was the Greek people. You know, so what it was all about, I don't know. But anyway, there was a strike when we arrived there.
How was the stuff unloaded then?
Our vehicles went over, and I think it was on HMS Gloucester, and the troops on HMS Gloucester and our troops unloaded all our vehicles.
Did you see anything of the strikers?
No.
So they didn't interfere with you?
No, they didn't interfere at all.
What impression did Greece make on you when you arrived?
We went to Athens first of all. Athens was a well built up city. From Athens we went up into the country while the roads were unmade. We didn't have any maps. A lot of the people hadn't even seen vehicles of our type, and we went right the way through from the south of Greece right up to the northern part, up to Macedonia onto the Florina plain.
And how were you equipped?
Oh, we were reasonably well equipped. We became part of the second Armoured Brigade.
Who else was in the brigade with you?
Oh, Northumberland Hussars. There were Australians, New Zealanders. I don't know of any others.
When approximately did you reach Florina Plain?
Florina must have been in March 1941.
And what was the morale in the units like?
Oh, in our particular unit, very good, very high.
What did you think of the prospects against the Germans?
Well, we thought we could beat them. I feel sure that we thought we could beat them. But I don't think we actually set out to beat them at that particular stage. In my own mind, I feel that we were there to draw the Germans into Greece. And I still stick to what I say. There was something that we didn't know about. I'll tell you why this came about. Because after we'd set up our positions at a place called Florina, that was on the Macedonia Plain, and the Germans began to infiltrate, we were told we were to hold that position for 4 days. And after 4 days, we were to evacuate. And this we did. We gradually drew back through Greece until we came back to the... Thermopylae Plains. I'm sure it was the Thermopylae Plains. And there it was decided that we would be evacuated. We went to the coast, and there we waited for a ship to come and take us off.
What were these positions that you took up in Florina? Can you describe them?
Purely slit trenches. Purely slit trenches.
Were they in a flat area or a mountain?
Yes, it was. It was at the foot, of a mountain. We took our way through to Greece up to the Florina Plain. We unloaded overnight at the foot of a mountain. We carried all our equipment up over the mountain, down the other side, and then we set up our slit trenches at the foot of the mountain, facing across the plain.
What was the attitude of the local villagers towards you?
There weren't any villages anywhere near us.
Were there any Greek army units there?
Not actually on the Florina Plain, no. We didn't come up to the Greek army until sometime later, as we were withdrawing.
Did you have artillery support?
Yes, Northumberland Hussars. They were supporting us. I don't think there was any heavy artillery. I don't think we ever took any heavy artillery actually into Greece. But the Northumberland Hussars did a jolly good job.
How long were you in these positions before the Germans attacked?
Virtually overnight. Virtually overnight. We arrived at the plain. We dug our slit trenches, and I think the following day, it must have been early in the morning, we could see the actual German troops infiltrating through the passes.
These were infantry, were they?
Oh yeah.
Did they have tanks?
Oh, they had tanks, yes. Armoured vehicles.
And air support?
No, well, yes, we didn't see much of an air support. We saw a couple of Fieseler Storks, that's the German spotter planes. They came and had a look at us, but we didn't see any a great deal of aircraft, not at that stage, and we certainly didn't see any of ours.
So you saw the Germans advancing towards your trenches?
Yes.
And what happened next?
Well, then they seemed to stop. And on that first evening, my company commander told me to take my section out into the minefields on a listening patrol. A Royal Engineer took us through the minefield. We lay there in the snow and we just listened. We heard three Germans digging ahead of us, and then we withdrew, reporting back to my company commander, and the following morning we found that they'd put a machine gun nest there.
How much fighting had there been up till then?
None. There hadn't been any fighting at all up till then. Now, the following morning, we saw three vehicles crossing the plain, three armoured vehicles, and the Northumberland Hussars opened fire. They put one shell in ahead of the tanks, one behind it, and the third one, they blew one of the tanks to pieces. And then the other two, they shot off back to where they came from.
So that was good shooting,
though. Oh, yes, yeah.
What do you remember next?
From then on, there was an awful lot of rifle fire, machine guns. I don't think there'd been a lot of artillery up to that time. I say we held in my particular section anyway, there wasn't a lot of fighting, but I gathered further along to my right, on the right flank, there was quite a lot of fighting, and some of our chaps were killed there. I can't speak for them.
What company were you in?
Our D Company.
And do you remember your platoon?
Yes, 14 platoon.
Do you remember who was in charge of the company in the platoon?
Now that would be R.J.T. Pollock, a lieutenant. R.J.T. Pollock.
In charge of the platoon?
Platoon, yes.
Do you know the company commander?
Offhand, no. It just doesn't work in my mind at the moment.
Would that have been a captain?
Oh, yes, he was definitely a captain. It'll probably come to me eventually.
What do you remember next?
All this shooting went on, and as I say, we held the position for 4 days, and then we were told to get out.
Were there many casualties in those 4 days?
Not in my particular area, no. My section didn't suffer any casualties at all. Behind me, there was an Australian unit and a New Zealand machine gun unit, and they took some casualties, but purely and simply from sniper fire.
Do you think you caused many casualties to the Germans in front of you?
From my own section, no. No, because for some reason or other, we seemed to be isolated. There was an awful lot of rifle fire in my area, but there was no actual hand-to-hand fighting, but further along on the other flanks there was quite a lot.
What did you think to being in action for the first time?
I just didn't worry me at the time. It's very strange, you know. I should have thought I should have been scared to death, but no, this just isn't.
Did you enjoy it?
No, I won't say I enjoyed it. Oh no. I suppose there must have been a certain amount of fear there, but I can't recall it. I can't recall being frightened.
So you were given orders to pull out after 4 days.
Yes.
How did the men react to that?
Well, they'd already been told. Our company commander had already told us that. We were to hold the position for 4 days, and then we were to make a withdrawal. Now, we had to go through a gorge and then up over the hills. And as we went up these hills, so the artillery opened up on us.
Were you on foot or in vehicles?
Oh yes, on foot. Our vehicles had been they were in a tunnel some way back behind us in the rear.
Were you pulling out at night or by day?
No, I pulled out in the morning. And as we went up this upside of this mountain, so the artillery opened up on us.
With what effect?
Oh, with some casualties. Some casualties. Now, the unit was in a long, draggly line. And they didn't seem to be moving themselves fast enough. I went back and started chivvying them a bit. And then we met way back in the valley where our vehicles were. Now, at that particular stage, we got onto our vehicles and we pushed off south.
What condition were you in by now?
Oh, pretty good condition. Yeah, we weren't too bad. I say there'd been casualties, but from my own point of view, from my section, nobody had been hurt, nobody had been hit. No problem at all.
Did you get any reaction from the Greeks as you were pulling back?
Now, as we went back, we had to go over mountain roads, of course, and we found that quite a number of traps had been set for us to stop the vehicles getting through. But eventually we got there. We arrived at a place called...
Who had set the traps?
Oh, the 5th Columnists. With columnists. In one case there was a hay wagon. It was absolutely loaded with hay and the wheels had been taken off, and it was right across the road and it was a single track. So what we did, we just out of our vehicles and pushed it over the side.
Did you catch any 5th columnists?
No. Now we went down into a place that we call Death Valley. Now at Death Valley, the road went through the village, over a river, and it was a single track bridge. As we arrived there, the Greek army was coming the other way. So you guess the chaos that happened there. It was there were civilians and animals and all sort. Of course, the Greek army, they hadn't got the sort of transport that we'd got. It was mostly horse transport and that sort of thing. Anyway, it was quite a to do there. And during the time that we were in that particular position, so we were bombed by Stuka bombers.
Where was this Death Valley place?
Now this was, can I have my notes? It was in Grevena.
How do you spell that?
Grevena. And it was renamed by us as Death Valley. Now the convoy came to an abrupt stop because it was a single road through the village and a very narrow bridge over which all traffic had to pass. It was chaotic. The Greek army, with its outdated horse-drawn field kitchens and artillery, were moving northwards, and civilians with handcarts, prams, mules, cows, goats, mothers with babies and arms, children at the skirts, all in a state of panic. And at that particular time, Hermann Göring's yellow-nosed Stukas appeared, and they began to drop their bombs. In my particular case, we dived out of our truck into a ditch, and my truck was untouched. But some of my colleagues weren't quite so lucky. The next day, we were bombed constantly. The road ahead of us was bombed, and we had the task of filling in holes or finding a way round. And we crossed the river Venticos as the rain made driving very difficult. But at least it stopped the Luftwaffe from dropping their bombs on us. And we passed then through Kalambaka, at Kalambaka, and Tricola, Trikkala, and then we passed through the main line of defence into the Thermopylae line, and we came to rest at a place called Atlanti.
And so you were part of the Thermopylae line? Along with whom?
Oh, I don't know.
Do you know which units were on?
I had no idea from that. We were scattered all over the place at that particular time.
What was the terrain like where you were?
It was very rough indeed, yeah.
Mountainous?
There was a plain there, the Thermopylae plain. There were mountains, but nothing fantastic.
Were you hoping to hold the Germans at that line?
Well, I believe that was the general idea. But I still stick to what I say, that I was under the impression what we were trying to do was to draw them into Greece. For some reason or other, that's the impression I got. Now, at Thermopylae, we were reorganised into an anti-parachute force, because it was anticipated they would drop parachutes on us.
How were you supposed to stop them?
Purely and simply just sort of keep an eye open for them, that's all. And probably loads of them would have been in civilian clothes and what have you.
And was it just, was it your battalion, the whole of your battalion?
Oh, yes,
as an anti-parachute force?
We were involved in various patrols, and while passing a farmhouse, we were set on by a mad dog. A big brute took a lump out of one of my lads. It was necessary to shoot the animal. The farmer got a bit mad. And from there, we learned that arrangements were being made for our evacuation, and we made our way to a place called Rafina. That's Rafina. Maybe we were told a ship would be waiting for us.
So, did any German parachutists land?
No, we didn't see any more Germans from then on.
What was the situation at Rafina?
Well, now, at Rafina, we were given the instructions to put our transport out of action. We drained the oil and the water, and then ran the engines up until they seized. But the promised ship didn't come in. And we received orders to march south along the coast to a place called Rafti. That's Rafti. It was a distance of about 12 to 14 miles. It was dark, and we trudged along the sandy beach. And as it began to get light, we heard a German spotter plane, and we made ourselves scarce under the nearby trees. We stayed undercover for most of that day, and hardly had set off again when we were ordered to retrace our steps and return to Rafina. It was still dark when we got back. A rear guard was organised while attempts were made to start the engine of a Greek kayak. Then a miracle. A dark shape slid into the bay. It was a destroyer, HMS Havoc. We swarmed aboard, waited a while for the last of the rear guard to return, and then only just in time, because back along the road we heard the grind of tank tracks.
How did you get on board the ship?
We climbed aboard over a wrecked kayak. On a wrecked kayak.
And then jumped, scrambling that?
Scrambled it, yeah.
How did the crew treat you?
Oh, very well indeed. Prior to joining the Rangers, I'd been in the RNVR. And I knew that what would happen was, as soon as we got aboard, there would be cocoa and some bread. I made a bet. I won my bet, because as we went aboard, so we got cocoa and rum. It was lovely.
Was it the whole of your battalion on the ship?
The majority of them. There were some left behind. I don't know how many left behind.
Because there was no room for them?
Well, no, it was just a question. They just weren't available at the time that we pulled out.
How crowded was the Havoc?
Pretty crowded. Yeah, we were. Most of us were on the deck. I say, as it pulled out, we could hear these tanks in the background.
How tired were you by the time you got aboard?
Well, pretty tired. I'm pretty hungry, to tell you the truth.
Was this night time?
It should be early morning. Early morning.
In the dark?
In the dark, yeah. I say, as we pulled out, it was pretty dark. Well, the moon on the water sort of gave us the impression as the ship came in. We just saw the shadow of the Havoc pull in. Anyway, we travelled all that night, and then as the sun was beginning to lift, the Havoc guided alongside the rickety old wooden jetty, and we found that we had arrived on the island of Crete, and the date was April the 29th.
What happened to you on arrival?
Now, there were no signposts, no sign of any habitation, there was no roads, only a dusty track and stunted trees, and we headed inland. And we eventually were guided westward by one of our own officers, and we took refuge beneath the olive trees, which were to be our shelter and our hiding place for many days to come. And the majority of us flaked out and slept for most of that day. Then, as the military discipline began to assert itself, we prepared latrines, slit trenches, rolled call and rifle inspection.
What was the name of this place?
Well, at the particular time, we don't know what the name of the place was. It was near Hania, which is the capital of Crete. It was very near there. Supplies were then unloaded at Suda Bay docks, and rations of M&V, that's McConaughey's, bully beef and biscuits, tea sugar and tin milk, cigarettes, KD shirts and slacks. My company, D, took up positions overlooking a valley to the east and northeast of Hania. Our hopes that we would return to Egypt had been dashed, and the powers had decided to defend the island.
What kind of positions did you have?
We were high up on the hillside, and we'd shifted rocks to form some protection, and we're in the process of doing so when several light bombers appeared. They actually circled below us as they unloaded their missiles, and several Rangers were killed and wounded at that particular time. We were then seconded to guarding Force HQ at what they called the White House.